Recorded. I'll call the meeting to order. Okay, Ruggles Engineering kickoff.
Okay.
I suppose that's you.
Yeah, I just want to kind of set the process, you know, going forward, and then also to kind of identify, first of all, obviously what the priorities are for the projects. But just in some administration stuff, you received the notice to proceed from the town.
Yeah.
I'm going to be working on a contract, and I'll get that forwarded to you probably like early next week. And then once we get that signed, you know, it's obviously official, but you're authorized to proceed and you know, go from there. It would be good to know how often you think we would need to meet, or if we need to meet at all, or do any online just for, like, updates. And then it would also be good to, from the town side, just a flow of communication. And because one thing I understand, you know, I totally get your side, is that you don't want to be getting direction from multiple people. But at the same time, you know, you work for the town, and I'm kind of like the conduit, just to help the town manage the process. And then the town needs to tell me, you know, to what level they want me to, you know, go through responding to questions and things like that. Now, typically what has worked the best is that I usually say, okay, if you have any questions about the project or design, you know, you can send it to me and then copy one person from the town at the same time.
Yeah.
And usually Mike has been my contact person for any of the questions and things like that. I assume we're going to proceed with the same format.
I would assume, yeah.
Okay. And if I can't give you the answers to your questions, and then I'll go back to these guys, you know, for more in depth, you know, answers to your questions. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I would look at it as I'm going to treat you like I would treat most towns. Either if I'm dealing with a road foreman, I'm always dealing with one individual with the town.
Yes.
So, okay, you'll just be my point of contact.
That would be Mike.
Well, I'll work through him.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, yep. if there's really not much.
No.
It's going to go quick. Like, there's not a lot of options here.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So, I mean, the first thing is getting Ridge Road open. So, you know, we're going to hit that hard and get it surveyed and get a plan put together and get it out to bid so it can be hopefully built this year. So,
do you foresee two of these bridges getting done this year?
Well, don't you guys getting a little ahead, don't go too far yet. Because what I want to do is, because I want to make sure that for like today's meeting, this morning, I want to kind of do an overall 3,000 foot goals first, mm-hmm. and then go back and drilling in the details of the specific. Because if I don't understand like what your desires are, what our goals are for this year, it's going to be hard for, you know, Nate to figure out what his priorities are and what he needs to concentrate on, because it might be different than what we had all anticipated before.
Yeah, okay. I got a few questions I want to go over.
Yeah, so I think from this point, let's just kind of go over like high level first. We have projects 1 through 5. What are your sequence of priorities for these projects? And then which ones are we going to try to knock off and complete, get under construction for this year versus next year's project? Because that helps me to set up. Then when you guys see it on my smart sheet, because they have access to my schedule, I will start filling in those dates on every project and when we anticipate design and permit to be completed, when bid packages will go out, and when we anticipate, you know, construction to begin. Does that make sense? That way you guys kind of get a global snapshot of, you know, where projects are and how they're progressing. The other thing that you guys are going to be hindered by is then obviously the cost, and how will you get reimbursed for your cost. So depending on what the project cost, let's say, comes out for project one, you may not be able to financially be able to do project two this year.
Mm-hmm.
So those are kind of things that we need to kind of mm-hmm. think about and try to head off right off the bat. So does that make sense to you?
I mean, the only thing I'd say is the way I laid out the proposal the schedule that I was looking at, I mean, one is, you know, my time, but also it's constructability of it. Like,
yeah,
Ridge Road and Brook Road, you know, I think you can get done this year. The rest of them, I mean, you could, but the cost numbers you might see from people would be not palatable, I don't think. So
I think with that, let's first hear from you guys. What is your sequence of importance to you? Projects.
Well, we've talked about it some, and yep. I just want to go over a couple of things with these guys. So, cost wise, and what we're going to have for money. Okay. We talked about over here at the Bennett Road with that bridge being put in first. This is a route 2. People come over this road a lot for this temporary thing we're going on down here. Money for money and what we're going to get done. If we only have money for that one project over there, and we got everybody traveling down through here, through this wooden bridge down here, is that the smartest move? Because right now, ain't nobody going through that bridge over there. There's a hole there. And if we do happen to get another flood, and we're over there working, and this is gone again down here, we're in another... I'm just wondering. I mean, right now, this is kind of a... To me, we've got, you know, blocks and stuff down there, and, you know, to people to drive through as a direction... Do we spend our money on this bridge first and get this done and then move over there if we have... I'm just... Because this is the Route 2 access. Trucks go through here. Big trucks.
Well, if we fix a Ridge Road first, we're going to have more traffic through here. And if we don't get this bridge done, we'd probably have to close this road.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, this is a more of a hazard to me down here than that over there. With live, you know, people driving. And as soon as they open that road back down here for the town and the Linden, which they are, and they're going to pave it, they're going to be a lot of traffic going through this way here rather than that way there.
Our priority should be this one here, probably.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
First.
Because I want to, then how does that affect your, how you put your proposal together? Or does it have any effect to that?
The Ridge Road is basically, is going to be a multi-plate pipe. I mean, that's really the solution on that one. And so, I mean, that plan can get done quick, go out to bid quick, and hopefully the pipe material get delivered by, say, mid-September or October, if everything goes well. This one we've got to start with concrete. One, you got to take everything out.
Right.
Then you got to build it back up with new concrete that's pinned to the ledge. And then what I was thinking was doing like an arch pipe over the top of that.
I will leave in the concrete over there to the other one too. Are we taking that out, that concrete that's over there?
On
Ridge Road? On the first one you just talked about with the plate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would just be, it'd just be a long plate. And so complexity-wise, I think you're going to get more guys bidding on it. I mean, all these jobs are kind of an exercise in moving a lot of earth too, because they're so deep that you got a lot of earth coming out for safety slopes and stuff for guys working, a lot of earth coming back in. I mean, this one's a bigger job. You're going to have less guys bidding on it, and I just don't know if you're going to get guys.
This one here is a bigger job here, right? This where we got that.
Yeah, because you got to close it off. You got to dig it all out. You got to break all the old bridge out. You got to then dig it back. Mm-hmm. So the guys have safety area to work in, and then it's got to be formed up. So you need someone that's going to do form work, build the concrete up, and then backfill it, and then put another structure on top of it. The arch pipes, I mean, I don't know if we can even get it. I mean, we've got some that are just being ordered now that we bid this winter, and it's like 8 to 10 weeks to get it. So.
Now, arch pipe, is that the aluminum culverts like we've seen being put in by Linden on the Brook Road?
It'd be similar, yeah.
Because you, this then is the first.
If you look at the ones on Brook Road, I mean, I think one already got damaged. You can see it. So it'd be a little, different than that. It wouldn't be.
It's been damaged.
I think just your construction. I mean, it's.
Oh.
Yeah, they're. You hit it with a machine and you can damage them pretty fast.
Oh.
I don't know if we can get all the pieces in place. I mean, you might be able to say if you found a concrete guy to do the concrete work and the stream work and get it up and get that done before it got cold, and then someone could do the other work in the cold weather and then have it open by January 1st. That's the concern that I have, is just constructability timing. I don't know if all the pieces will play out. I mean,
and we knew that time was going to be against us anyway. When we get, even last winter when we get started on this. So,
like Keith
so
said,
if we
fix that over there, that's going to put quite a bit of traffic.
Yeah, but if we have to, we close the road. Simple. We can't put 400 cars a day across that bridge.
No, we can't.
So we close the road.
Can you?
We send them to Lindenville, and we send them down the your way.
Yeah, or around that way.
Or around that way. There is an option.
Yeah.
But because Burke Mountain, all winter, from Route 2 over to here, is a GPS route, and back.
Yeah.
And I live on the South Kirby side, and day goes by 200 vehicles past my house on my camera every weekend.
Really?
Not a problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of them are the same 10 cars.
I mean, that one over there, but they got in and out. But.
So, I mean, just think like last fall was a little different story, but we had a bridge in Sutton had washed out, and we'd actually had just already designed a deck replacement for it. So we were ready to go, and we said, all right, the town said, all right, let's see if we can get this thing, the bridge replaced before winter. And Carrera had a gap. They made the deck, so they're precast deck panels over in Middlebury. They made those. We said, you know, we ordered them first, and then we tried to get a GC. I talked to guys. You gonna bid on it? Went, oh yeah. And then I get one bid, and then. All right, well, let's do precast abutments. Carrera, can you make them this fall? Yep, we can make them this fall. Carrera makes precast abutments. We had everything ready. Guys, you going to bid on it? It's going to be a little late in the winter. Yep, we'll bid on it. Nope.
No bid.
Each time we got one bid, and then this spring we ended up rebidding it, or this winter we rebid it. Simpson ended up doing, basically just an install, and it was half of what it was 3 months earlier. So, I mean, in some guys, you start getting late, and some guys are just like, I mean, especially you start working down in a big hole. I mean, you can't walk a machine down there in cold weather like you can in the summer.
It's just too
dangerous. It would be one thing if it was like, you know, a flat, swampy area or something, you know, the machines didn't have to go down in a big hole, but I think.
So this plate arch you're talking about, like for the town of Groton?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about over here? Explain that to me a little bit.
Well, it's so a lot of these plate arches we build them up on. They work nice. I like them on ledge when they're right on top of bedrock. Mm-hmm. We'll build the concrete up.
Mm-hmm.
This one I would build it up higher and keep the arch pipe as small of an arch as possible. I mean, we keep it wide, guardrail, so you're not gonna. There's not potential to, like, you're not trying to squeeze through it, or you're not going to hit it or whatever. And I know, like, on Brook Road, there's one of them that's on a sharp. I remember seeing it was on a sharp angle, and they have their place. When we have roads that kind of have a skew with a stream, I don't use them very often. But this one's kind of nice and straight across, but we need to get it up with concrete. So.
Mm-hmm.
And Kath, like that one, I think cast in place is great because you start putting precast in some of these places, and you just, and when they're deep, you got to have a setback so far that all of a sudden you got to have a 275 ton crane that can barely even reach it. So.
Right.
And that one, this might need to be aluminum here. I mean, aluminum is a little bit more than galvanized steel, but I like to use the aluminum when we're down in the water. If we're not in the water, we've got a couple. I think in Corinth there may be those. I think those might be galvanized, not aluminum, because we're not down in the water. Usually, you know, if you can step out of the water, galvanized to me is nice and rugged.
So you think you might be able to use an aluminum?
Maybe aluminum or galvanized down here. I mean, we're going to bring concrete up. We're going to pin concrete to the ledge, and then we're going to bring it up.
And that's also that open bottom thing required under the H&H study. Are they all essentially going to be built up walls, or are some of them?
Well, Ridge Road, I think the best option there is the same as what you have when you come up here from Burlington Bridge Road, and then when you turn onto Ridge Road there, the culvert there. Mm-hmm. It's a long culvert, but this one will just be a lot bigger. It'll have tapered ends, so we don't need to have all this money in guardrail and head walls. Because these arch pipes, any of the arch pipes or the culverts that we have, I mean, you'll spend, from these manufacturers, they'll charge you as much for the head walls as they do for the pipe. So, and being in that deep hole, I mean, just taper it out, put it back. So again, it's an exercise in moving material. But I think, like Ridge Road is just simple. So I think you're going to have more guys that are interested in putting a number on it, because it's really just going to be a lot of trucking. And then we usually work with them, get the grade set, and then put it in.
So some of those big culverts, they have like a cut to them.
Yeah.
Is that to allow the wood to get through if it gets hung up there? What that's for?
It really pushes it up. I mean, it wants to push it up. So I mean, your two options are kind of like you miter the end of the pipe, or you put flared wing walls that kind of drive everything into it. But we find that now with V-Trans or just A&R requiring everything to be that bank full width, extra wide, that we're not designing these. We used to design them hydraulically, like how much water can we stuff down this thing without it overtopping the road? And now it's, we got to meet the stream width. Well, when you start meeting the stream width, a 100-year flood's only a couple feet deep in these things. So they'll tell you in their hydraulic reports, we'd like you to consider wing walls. What do I need a wing wall for? My water level's way down here. But if we do have debris, if you taper those pipes, it can just push up.
Gotcha.
And then you can pull it out.
So you eliminate the wing walls?
Yeah, I only do wing walls when I really need to do a wing wall. So I don't try to make it more than it needs to be.
Yeah, you just go wider and build that bank wall.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think it's going to be this is why I kind of want to have this discussion, because if we try to push a project that we don't think we're going to get bids on for this year, or you're going to get astronomical costs, there's no reason to really prioritize his time on that right now, when we can prioritize his time on something that we feel that we can get results and bids on and get a decent cost.
Right.
Because I agree with him that if, one, you either get one bidder or you get a crazy number, and then we wasted everyone's time, or let's just make sure we get all the planning done, and then we send out to packages. Because some of the responses I received from the previous round was that they were afraid that we were going to chop it up into all, like, five different projects with five different contractors. And some of them wanted to bid the whole thing. And that's an opportunity that we can give some of the bigger guys of doing two or three projects in 1 year rather than just giving them one little job.
Where did we stand with that whole result after the nine bidders came here? We got nobody airing, and then We still have to get two bids now? Or can we just hire...
Because of our purchasing policy, I believe we have to get two prices. We don't have to do bids, but Matt said it's still a better idea.
Right.
So we had another... And we had some great bids this winter. We had some really competitive bidding. I mean, we just had one in Sheffield that we had Simpson, Camhell, and Harold. It's concrete. They were all 137,000 or 147,000, and it was they were within $500 of each.
Really?
Gravel Construction out of Hardwood took it for like 100.
Yeah.
But he's like, yeah, he goes, I really needed the work.
Yeah.
And then we had two bid this winter in Woodbury. They got their FEMA money already from the 23 flooding. They were told that the bridges were going to be $500,000 bridges each. And I had met with them once, and I said, well, I just don't have time right now. So they went to another engineer, and, you know, it was $500,000 bridges. And then I got a call a couple months later, and they're like, well, would you want to look at these again for us? And I said, okay. So we did it. I said, well, this is 23 flood, we can't. I said, I can do the work in 24, and we'll put out the bid in January 25. So we put out the bid, and Jay McDonald took one for like 170, and Alliance took one for 145.
Mm-hmm.
And my estimates were like 210, 220.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were, same thing. McDonald took one down in Waterford, a box down there, 18-foot wide box. Concrete box, and they were great price, and they were looking for work this winter. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's the nice thing is these guys can look at it in January and February, mm-hmm. and then they can sharpen their pencil, mm-hmm. and then they know what they got for the summer.
That's the best time to bid.
So, sometimes it's hard to work. Right.
I mean, sometimes it's better.
It was half the price. Yeah. Sutton was half the price from what it was last fall to when we bid it this in February.
Yeah.
So.
Just in that 3 or 4 month period?
It was all about.
You had timing.
Timing.
November, December is a tough month. I mean, you've got holidays, you've got the deer season,
mm-hmm.
you got guys wrapping up their projects. They're not thinking about next year's backlog. You get past the end of the new year, then they start thinking about their backlogs for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when they have the time to sit down and start bidding jobs.
Aaron, if we're under 250, we don't have to put it out the bid, period, correct?
Right, but how will we know if we're under 250?
So I'll put together a construction cost estimate.
Right.
When I've got design pretty much done. So I'll have a pretty good ping on it. I would say that you could get someone that would bid under 250, maybe on Ridge Road. If you package Brook Road with it, then it's definitely more.
Right.
But this one down here, I mean, that one's definitely more. And if you package it with the Ridge Road that needs to
repair
be
on the
busted
road,
out. Yeah. I mean, I would try to package those two together.
Yes.
And so, I mean, that's definitely.
That's going to be.
That'll be more. That'll be over 250. Yeah.
Because we still have the Brook Road thing has. Biggest culvert down towards the bottom of our is still pending an H&H study, and initially, correct me if I'm wrong, at most we were going to upgrade the road for winter travel, but not to fix it per se.
I'd kind of like to walk that.
Get the bridge or whatever done, and if we have to upgrade it, yep, fine. But it didn't. There's no residence as far as Kirby's concerned.
Yeah.
There's no residence on that road. Everything is Linden or below.
Yeah.
So to do either one of these two carried the priority, and there's no sense of having that bridge done without somebody doing the road, seeing as they're right there. So that in and of itself might make it one big project that could be done this year, but then again, don't know until we get a little more information and details, obviously, from your side.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just late. It's just late in the year. And
yeah.
So it's kind of balanced, too. It's like you could package them, and then all of a sudden you get less bidders and higher numbers. You could not package them. Because that question had come up in Woodbury. These two bridges we did that are being built this summer are 1,500 feet apart. They each go to one house. And the town guy was like, why do we just bid them, you know, for one contractor to do it? It's like, well, you know, you might get better bids. And then you might have one, they might be both be building them at the exact same time. They might not be.
As far as the bidding purpose on that bridge over there, I'd really like them to come up that Brook Road. Because if not, they're going to have to come all the way up Eastburg Hill.
Yeah.
And that's going to raise your bids way high. I mean, you got to climb that hill like that, and it's rougher than hell.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if they could come up 114 and come right up through there.
Is Casella, I mean, when I went through it a couple weeks ago, they were pretty much wrapping up.
Right. That's what, right.
Yeah.
And I don't know on one end of that road of our on our end, you know, we'll probably have to put some material, because it's not, we've only put a little bit of material on that very end, and then you start pounding trucks over that.
We could make it passable.
Exactly.
So that they could access that road instead of the steep hill and he's coming out of Eastburg. So.
Right. I mean, there's just a brook issue there that I need to see you about. That's pretty close to the road now. And if we get any high water?
Yeah, no, I saw that.
It's coming.
I saw that.
It's coming.
I saw that. It's not going to work.
No,
the way
it's
it is.
Not.
There's too much. The sediment just filled the brook up.
Exactly.
And the next path that's headed is headed straight down the road.
Exactly. So we need to get in there and get that corner cleaned out.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Where's that, Mike?
It's got to be.
Down the Brook Road on the left.
Down towards almost the property, almost
about
the
halfway
town
down
border.
The road.
And some of this,
it comes in
before it.
Yeah. Okay.
And some of this permitting stuff should be what we call next flood, where river engineers should be able to just come out and issue just write a permit.
Correct.
Because it's if this doesn't get taken care of, the next flood will
cause
a lot
again.
More damage.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the only bigger question might be Army Corps of Engineers. If you work between July 1st and October 1st in the stream, you get this covered under a general permit.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't, it's like a non-reporting. You don't have to really even talk to them, which confuses FEMA sometimes.
You said July 1st to October?
Yep, in the stream work.
Yeah.
And anytime outside of that, you're gonna need a special permit from them. So just having that conversation of, you know, if we need to be in there in October. I mean, usually with the state, if we got something planned and it's like, we're not going to be done by October 1st, like, can we get 2 more weeks? They're fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Army Corps, I mean, they're pretty busy and they don't have a lot of staff, so sometimes they are notified.
It requires authorization from both state.
It can.
Well,
FEMA might say, well, where's your authorization? And like with FEMA permits, you'd say, well, we're within their general permit period. We don't need to notify them.
We were actually just talking about that before you came in.
So
Keith Worcester said that FEMA wanted to know if we had permits to get in the water
for what we already did. Yeah.
For what we've already done.
So, I mean, we've had some where it was just an email
from
the river engineer that said you're good. But
correct.
As far as Army Corps was concerned, if you're under 5,000 square feet of impact, either in the stream or a wetland, then it's their non-reporting permit. And I've had a couple times where we've had to just have emails from Army Corps that says, yeah, we're not doing anything. But it all depends on your FEMA person. There's been different ones that do different things. So,
So with all that, what do you guys? Let's go back and regroup here.
Well, if we're going to do that ridge road over there, and if we can close this road, like I think we're going to have to close this road off if we don't get to this year.
Right. Honestly. I think we will too.
Close
the dam. The thing is, though, unless you actually blockade it, people will still try to travel.
But we'll have to block it.
Well, yeah, we'll
It'll have to be.
I mean, we're going to have to do something because that's not going to be safe. I'm telling you.
No, we can't put that kind of traffic over it all winter.
But John's got to get to it. In and out.
But
so
he'll be able to
get through it. But
well, I understand, but if we put something up, he's still got to get to the sand pile from here. Mm-hmm. So that's either that
so
or
we'll be blocked off beyond the sand pile, and we'll ship them down the hill.
Put a sign up here, road closed, go that way or go that way.
That's right, too, because
they can go around
Brookside goes up and around. Not that that's the greatest road either. But.
And, you know, if we're going to do the... I'm still unskeptical of what our conversation was 3 or 4 months ago with Logan Perrin about that Brook Road. Because he said we had to maintain that road so it was passable.
Mm-hmm.
If not, we had to make a decision whether we were going to make it a trail road and not fix the road. Remember that conversation?
Yep.
And he said, we have to make that passable.
If it stays as class 3, it has to be passable.
If it stays as a class 3 road. So while we're doing that bridge over here,
build the road.
Do the damn road. Then we're done with that project. Then we ain't worried about nobody getting on our case about that. Because you know what's going to happen? As soon as that bridge is fixed, they're going to take a left. And they're all going to be going down that road because it's a class 3 road still. So I guess if you guys want to projectize that over there, we can do that and close this off for now.
I think that's what we'd have to do.
All right, so we'll... Consensus is that we would push to have construction begin. We'll design first, permit, and then have construction begin for Project 1, which would be the...
Bridge Road Bridge.
Bridge,
Brook
yeah.
Road.
Well, call that culvert number 4, right? That's over Mountain Brook?
Yeah.
Yeah. Doing that first.
Do we want to do the Brook Road up to first so we can get to that project, bridge? Or what do you want
to
do here?
What I'd like to do with timing, the pipe needs to be ordered.
Right.
So I'd want to get that out the door as quickly as possible so you can get a contract and you can get that pipe time because that lead time is... Could mm-hmm. be 8 to 10 weeks or more mm-hmm. by
the
time.
So you would want the owner, so the owner would pre-purchase the pipe ahead of time for the contractors to install. Because otherwise, we're not going to get a contractor bid until after you're done. Then you're going to spend another month.
I'd say probably that might be the best solution.
I think so too.
To pre-purchase the. There's two manufacturers for that pipe. And get prices from them, and award it, and then get it coming, and then we could.
Is that like the big? I'm sorry, I'm not well. Round or the sort of squash thing or what?
It'll be a little squashed, yeah.
So they're just
Because this basically the state wants everything now wider stream width.
Right.
So, I mean, we just don't do the round. Stuff anymore. It's more so they'll actually be up on top of it. There's like these additional ribs.
Structural wise, too.
So that where the road more strength to the culvert where the road is going over the top of it.
Yeah. Over, now, it'll be over the whole thing, even though the road's not on the whole thing. But it's, I mean, they do what's called HL93 loading, so it's the same loading you do on the interstates. Mm-hmm. So it's all the same.
So does that involve concrete anywhere?
And then the pipe will be buried into the... Well, we'll actually have a little bit of concrete, probably precast.
On the sides.
Underneath the bottom on the ends of the culvert, so you can't undermine, and the culvert will be buried 2 feet.
Yeah.
So we'll put 2 feet of hopefully big stuff in there, but if you make it wide enough, the big stuff will stay during the next big storm.
So the beginning of the culvert sits on them precast?
We'll sit on the precast as a cutoff wall. We'll just do a couple cutoff walls.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are the two primary manufacturers?
Lane and Contec.
Okay.
So
really, your design doesn't need to be done. Just as once you get to the point where you've gained the parameter, I can go chase those pricing down.
Yeah, you could go get quotes. I mean,
you go get quotes, and then you guys decide. You'll see the dollars. Then you'll decide by then, release it or not release it, you know, pay for it or not.
I mean, I can already pretty much tell you that the only thing about that is I can already tell you who's going to be cheaper, most likely. But as far as getting a there are contractors that will go sometimes with a higher number because they offer better support.
Yeah.
So.
But we're talking about this is a material purchase only, though.
But it's, these are, I mean, they're called multi, I mean, they're multi-play arch pipes, so they're, you're putting this stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just concerned that one company is going to give you a lower number, you're going to go with that number, and I think the rest of us kind of prefer to work with the one that provides more support. Like even as I'm working through the design of it, I mean, one guy will just...
Well, give us your recommendation.
Right.
So we can go from there. I mean...
As far as contractor ease, I would say I know who's going to be easier to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've actually had contractors say to me, we went with a higher number because they provide...
And a few dollars and a better service sometimes.
But I don't have... The way to go. Not being a contractor myself, like, I don't have that experience to say why... I just don't want to throw. I just don't want to throw something at them, and they're like, "Well, this has been a nightmare."
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
Well,
that's the risk when you start buying stuff for the contractor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't that touchy, isn't it? When you do that.
Hmm.
I would think it's a bit touchy when like for us to go out and buy the pipe, and then, you know. Basically tell somebody here, you put it in. I mean, I know that's an oversimplification, but is that what you're referring to, or am
it's,
I missing
I mean, it's
it?
It's kind of like, I mean, we do it sometimes when we have to, and it is what it is. I mean, like towns have asked us before, oh, we'll buy, to get a box, concrete box culvert. We'll buy it now so we can get it into production and we can have it. Well, then all of a sudden it's like contractors like, well, I'm going to come do it. And then, they're like, well, I can't do it now. And then the precast company's like, well, it needs to get out of our yard.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then there's a shipping issue where the pieces get shipped differently.
Mm-hmm.
And the contractor goes, I'm paying for this crane.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've shipped the wrong end.
Correct.
And I've got to have the crane here another day.
Who's paying for that?
So it's just very touchy to try to...
Yeah.
It's better the means and method of a contractor. Like, you don't want an engineer trying to coordinate construction because it just doesn't go well.
No, I agree with you on that. But if there is a benefit for these guys, do we gain time for this year? Then I think we ought to at least consider it. But then
not do that on the rest of them.
Yeah, right.
We do it on one. I mean,
just for this year's project, I would recommend. But listen. Once we receive the numbers, we'll come back to you, and you guys, you give your honest assessment of which one you think is the best for the town.
Exactly. Sure.
I might have some suggestions, too, on what we ask them to provide at the time of bid.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that might actually resolve everything right there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Whatever you get.
That might do it. That might do it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we can,
Okay.
But just be aware that it's... it can add some frustration on everybody's part if we start mingling with their...
Well, being a contractor, I understand that.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I was a plumber for years.
Yeah.
People will buy their own
faucet.
Still,
yes, you install this toilet.
Yeah, put this faucet in. And it's like...
It's all metric.
Oh,
it's from Spain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Where'd you get this? Job lot. $29.
Yeah.
Good.
It only held up for a year and a half.
Not even. Like maybe 4 months. Yeah. And it all leaks by again. And so, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I understand.
Okay, good.
All right, so let's talk about timing for Project 1. When do you think you'd have the design and the permit completed so that a bid package can go out? What's the timing for that?
I'm hoping in a couple weeks.
Okay, so let's say we're obviously beginning of June, so mid-June.
I would say third week of June, I'm gonna have something for you to order the pipe.
Okay.
Yep. Third week of June.
Yep. So we'll meet someone, and I'd say. I mean, I deal with these guys quite often.
Okay.
So I'm already going to be in touch with them, and then I'll just say, I can loop you in and say, well, he needs a price. This is the scope that he needs, and then by the end of June, you guys can make a decision and sign it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Sounds good.
And then we'll have maybe within a short, I mean, very close to that, put it right out to to all the guys.
So if we target, let's say, first week of July, take it out to bid?
I think that's kind of what I had in my head.
Yeah.
And probably only give them a couple weeks.
Yeah. Well, I think we should probably just invite only, just call a couple of guys and say, hey, this is what we've got coming up. Are you?
I've got a pretty good ping and a list of all the local guys that are going to want to do this work. So what I normally do is, I mean, we're not putting it in the newspaper, wasting time on any of that stuff.
Right.
We're just going
to call them, and
we're going to put that list together, and I'm going to send them the plan.
Okay.
And say, you know, bids are due at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is going to be an exercise in trucking.
And then we decide on who we want to hire as a select board.
I would say if we're inviting people, you take the low number. This goes south if, I mean, I still have contractors that it wasn't even my fault of 10 years ago that don't really bid on my work because I had an owner that said, well, he can get here faster, I'm hiring him.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't the low, and especially when we invite people, you know, you're asking them to take their time, put a number on it.
Yeah.
Right.
And you don't take the low bidder.
Should this be a public bid opening or a private bid opening?
We always do public. It's public money. It's public opening. We've invited people. They're not hiding anything. There's no There's no need to not do it as a public opening.
Under this scenario, are we believing that the low bidder wouldn't be a problem child?
Well, you're gonna know who you're inviting already.
Yeah, right. We're pre-qualifying people.
Oh, okay. So it's not an open book type thing.
No, it's not gonna be. He's not gonna get advertised.
Okay. So you're contacting. Okay,
yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And I had two of them this year, where I've asked the towns to rescind what they said. I mean, there's a couple times the low guys come in and they're like, boy, but then. They all can get it done, and they're all local, and they're all, you know,
it's all done to the design anyway.
Exactly,
so it is what it is.
Exactly, yeah. And you know what? Some of these guys have a lot less overhead than others.
Right.
Yeah.
And they can do it for that.
Right.
Are they gonna be able to buy a new piece of equipment this winter based on that bid? Nope. But they're not gonna lose their shirt.
Right.
You know, I mean,
I've explained to these guys. Everybody has a set price they have to make money for. Yeah. It all depends on their overhead.
Yeah, a lot of times the way I look at contractors when I'm even putting my pricing together for projects estimating is I look at the contractor that I'm trying to get to bid on it, kind of the level of contractor, and I try to think about their daily rate versus how much per cubic yard of this or how much of this. I think, all right, this guy, he's got a crew this big, he operates this big, you know, he needs $3,500 a day. This guy needs $8,000 a day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so you start putting that together and you can see the scale of who's going to bid on it and what the number's going to be.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Pretty better than, I mean, we still use the V-Trans, like they come out with a summary of average prices over the last like 2 or 5 years. So those are usually pretty inflated. They aren't if we're doing it at a tough time of the year where we're getting really high numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, I'll have a pretty good ping. And then again, we'll invite a smaller guy mm-hmm. to maybe a job that we're expecting the bigger guys to bid, and then the small guy takes it.
Mm-hmm.
And he needed the work and he can do it.
Right.
So, and we work with them. I mean, So we know the guys around. We know, who does what.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good way to go.
Not too worried about it.
Okay. So then that means it looks like we would have, let's say, by mid-July, third week of July, we'll have bid results. And then construction can, you know, if the budget number comes in within you guys' doable level, construction basically starts, you know, end of July, first of August.
I'd still say even if you get the contractor, they're not going to be ready to go. So you're still talking. You're still talking a September.
Yeah. Oh, they won't be able to start in September.
I don't see anybody. They've already got their workloads.
Exactly. They're going to have to fit that in somehow.
What about their? What about the permit then? Can we still get?
So that'll be the one thing of saying we need to get in the water in October and.
At least get started before then.
Yes. Oh, hopefully. I mean, we need to give them some flexibility. So if the bids come back high, it means everyone's telling you we're too busy.
Right.
We're not risking going in the water in October.
Right. And I don't want that running in November and December, because then you're into the winter and you're into the rates of material and so much more ton and blah, 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 blah.
I mean, shorter daylight hours.
Oh, yeah.
Frozen equipment.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it just... And some bigger guys will do it because they want to keep a crew busy. It's tough in November because a lot of those guys have been humping it all summer, and now they want to go hunting.
Right.
So,
what do you think duration would be for that project? What was your census?
It's going to depend on trucking, but I would imagine 2 to 3 weeks. Someone's going to have that. I mean, they might spend. I mean, depending on who it is, they might spend a couple days getting that site prepped.
You're going to need some pretty big equipment pulling that cement out of there, I'm telling you that.
Yeah,
That baby's in there.
But there's guys that break it up, too.
Right, correct.
So we have guys that'll rent a hammer.
Yeah.
And they'll go down there and hammer it apart.
Right.
Bust it up in pieces.
Yeah, so.
Oh, yeah.
It just all depends. And then my guess is what's going to happen is you're going to get a local guy that's gonna do it. And the way he's going to do it, I mean, I can give you an example, like even KML last year, he was down in Barnett, and they had him doing some stuff, and I'm like, you don't have the equipment to do that. And he rented one. He went to Milton, and he got a big machine, and he rented it, and then he rented trucks, and he did it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are guys that will make it happen. And especially if that's a big trucking job, you could see KML, Simpson, a bunch of other guys, hire a bunch of everybody and get over there and start filling it up.
Right.
Just like Casella was renting a lot of trucks. So, there could be a lot of different ways guys do it.
Yeah, it's all in their bid.
McDonald doesn't, they're not a company that has a lot of trucks.
They always hire
it all out.
Yeah.
So
Alliance, he's got 3 or 4 trucks.
He's got like three.
Yeah.
And still, they'll still hire trucks. I mean,
right.
You just don't know.
Nope.
So, but I think that's how that one's going to play out. They're going to hire some trucks and they'll get it, get it done with it.
There's one aspect to that job that seems to be, some people have talked about it and other people have said not to worry about it, but it's been suggested to clean the brook out before the bridge, because there is so much debris that didn't go down through that's sort of ready to go down through. Have you looked at that aspect of it, or do you consider that at all?
Probably not part of the project.
I talked to the A&R guy, and he said go up through and cut it in sections with the chainsaw and leave it in the brook.
Yeah.
As long as it fits through the culvert. It is what it is.
Yeah.
That's what he told me.
Yeah. And the other thing we'll run into is you're getting FEMA money, too, to work on, like, public highway infrastructure.
That's not part of the project.
And then you start going beyond that, and it's like, well, did you have, if you're trying to send a contractor up there, did you have right of way? I mean, I know the state sent, they put out contracts where they were having skidders going up the streams and pulling logs out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would say, if separate of this, I would get up there and just start limbing it up a little bit and blocking it up so it would go down through.
So Nate, on that culvert we're talking about over there, I'm not trying to tell you your job by no means, but on a big rainstorm or during a heavy rain, you know, there's a ditch before, as you come this way, that way, there's a ditch down through there that we put big rock in.
Yeah, I saw that.
That gets a tremendous amount of water on a heavy storm.
Yeah.
So, you know, just keep that in mind.
So typically what I do on any culvert job is, one, I've got the stream engineer to deal with, but we still kind of have to think about, like, your municipal roads general permit. How are we dealing with erosion that might be coming down a road mm-hmm. and impacting our project? So sometimes I'll try to put in like big like sediment areas mm-hmm. where that stuff that's coming down is, can mm-hmm. be managed instead of it going down and destroying especially right. coming down. We'll make sure something okay. like that's
yep.
covered. Okay.
So then really on the simple forms in projects 2 through 5, we'll just work to get the design done this year and to bid in January, February, correct?
So we'll do the field work. We'll do all the field work this year and then we'll do the design in early winter and then we'll put it out to bid. So you guys will have a lot of guys looking at it while they're...
I don't know if you want to throw in that bid on this one here. We're going to do with... Are we going to add some material to that brick road and just leave it for now? Is that what we're doing? And then make that another... That's another project anyway. I understand that, but... So we make it passable? What do you want to do there? So then trucks can get back and forth up through there and...
Well, yeah, we'll make the brook. We'll make it passable. We're going to do the brook.
I think
road.
That was.
So that's what I'm wondering.
That's what
do the brook road. Too?
I think I was thinking about yes. that. The only thing on brook road is I wouldn't do the culvert yet.
Right.
But get. I mean,
there's 4 culverts down through there in the middle of the road that need to be right, changed.
So you want to push the brook road project forward then this year?
I'd like to try. Yeah. I mean, I think I'm still. I don't think I can get it done fast enough to get it out with Ridge Road, but I think timing-wise, we can still... I might be close, and then okay. we get it out, and then the same guy bids on it, or... Or
you go to him and ask him, you're already here, and...
What's the price, and you know, it's going to be under $250, and, mm-hmm. you know, if it's reasonable, then you add it to his contract or something. But we'll try to do that. The question is like what can we go and do in that stream, because
that's the main thing.
You either got to bring that road up a lot.
Oh yeah.
Or
right.
Because that debris that's in there.
Right. It's pretty low on that end down there. Anyway, that's why we got no ditches left. The road is gone. They just come up through the dozer and made a passable road for now. But that's got to be built up. You know, 4 feet in that one area, maybe 5.
So if
that will make your ditch anyway.
Right. So if that's the approach, just put a lot of rock in it.
Yep.
That seemed like what Casella did on that section as they come up to our property line was build it up in layers with the size of the rock.
Yep.
So if funding allows it, then you'd want to do project 4 mm-hmm. this summer too then. No, this fall, this summer fall.
We're going to kind of have to.
Yeah.
At least the road part and that brook part.
And the rest of it, I mean, with that other culvert, with the other bigger culvert,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if you put it out with this other work, I mean, it's not far away. So
no.
Right. Once they're here, so.
Correct.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So I have a question then on Project 4 in Brook Road. You've got multiple, like I said, there's 3 culverts that are 24-inch diameter.
Yeah.
Can those also be those plastic ones too? Would you recommend those? That's not a very big culvert.
If you've got cover on it, I mean, I like plastic because
it's smooth on the inside.
It's smooth and doesn't rot.
Right.
Then damn ribs, they hold rock.
So.
Inside, as we've noticed, and that's what washed a lot of our roads out was that small ledge would get caught in the beginning of those ribs.
Yeah.
And block that culvert up?
Yeah. So, well, I mean, some people don't like the polyethylene pipe because years ago, polyethylene is one of these materials, like, it creeps over time, or I think in the past it had more of a tendency to do that, where where it would, I mean, over 50 years, it'd start to squish a little bit. But I'm not sure that's really an issue anymore.
Right.
Are you opposed? Then you're not opposed to that?
I'm not opposed to poly.
Because I was, because I was over at Weed's yard last week, because they had contacted me. A friend of mine actually now is part of the family, but he now is managing. He's a general manager for them, and so he says, "Well, let me show you what we can do, what we have." And but he had a bunch of them in stock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I went on there, measured the diameters, like. It's got them in stock, and they do all the precast stuff too. And
I mean, a lot of them culverts are going to have 5 feet of fresh material over it, so if they put it in right and you get that much material over it, it's not going to squish the culvert in.
Right, exactly.
If it's a good base.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, I'm fine with plastic.
I was going to say, I don't know if John was figuring any of the stuff that we have to be used down there or not, but...
I mean, if we got them in there here, we might as well use them if they're here. I mean, if whether they're steel or whatever, we've already bought them. You got to use them.
He's
you have
them.
You have them already that you bought?
I don't know if John bought them or not. They're up there. There's a bunch of culverts up there. I know that.
Okay.
He doesn't like the plastic ones, but I don't.
It just depends. I mean, if you've got a shallow culvert crossing and you're grading,
right,
and you rip open the top of a plastic culvert,
you're done.
Yeah. So, but it. Yeah,
if it's just, new construction, though,
if it's new construction, it's not something. I mean, a lot of times town work too. I mean, you got smaller equipment, you don't have the capacity to say, all right, well, you know, we're shallow here, we got to hammer through that ledge.
Right.
You know, you got to. We've had jobs where we used ductile iron pipe for a culvert because you didn't have any cover.
Correct.
So, you know.
Oh yeah.
But if you can do it right, then.
So I guess we'll go on inventory here and see what we got for culverts.
Okay.
Because if the guy's working on Brook Road, you want him to go and finish it out, don't you, with the culvert and everything?
With the big culvert?
No,
the 24s would all have to go. The small ones would all have to be put in.
Yep. Okay, good. Yeah, because I just seemed didn't make sense to me to go back next year.
No.
Okay, good. All right.
Yep.
It'd just be that big one.
Okay. All right.
And I would imagine, I mean, you said you guys were waiting for a hydraulic report on the lower one.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there was one more stream that ties in from the one from the Ridge Road crossing. So it'd be slightly bigger than the whatever is on Ridge Road. I mean, it's not rocket science.
That's what I said. The same brook.
The same brook, a little bit bigger.
Yeah. Did Logan ever contact you about that? Because I emailed him last week.
Didn't contact me.
I haven't heard back from him either, but I gave him your number, which I'm sure he already had anyway.
Because, I mean, we were told that over a month ago.
I mean, I think it'd be pretty fast to document what we needed there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then get A&R to we're good.
So really, projects 2, 3, and 5 then would be bid out in January, February timeframe.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, for the 2026 construction season.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, good. All right. You guys have anything else? Any other questions? Anything else for Nate?
No, I...
You want to get him going now?
Firm believer, he's the man for the job, so there you go.
You want to do a site visit while we're all here, or...
Well, Nate, I mean, no, unless he wants to. I would just... He knows about the Brook Road where that... is the grass he already knows, so that was my main concern right there. Cause,
okay.
I mean, like I said, a little bit of high water and that's going to be gone.
Okay. Yeah.
We just got to get that corner cleaned out, get that back a little bit so the water stays over there.
And if for some reason the A&R said, we don't want you in there,
build a road
then we'd say, well, the road's coming up.
There you go.
More higher.
There you go.
So,
put the rock on the side, and
that's
good.
And then that's your basis for FEMA of saying, well, this was the condition.
There
this
you
is
go.
What we're have to pay for, so.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right, good. Do you have any questions, Nate?
Nope.
Your insurance.
Oh, I didn't send that to you yet?
We'll put the town as additional insured.
Oh, yep.
That will be good to go. And then, again, like I said, I'll get the contract out to you next week and get that formalized.
So back to the two call, which we discussed about the things there. We'll be in touch before this again, obviously, before we talk with you about what call we want to pick, what you recommend.
I think the next time you guys need to get together would be authorizing the purchase of the
Okay. All right.
I think Matt and I can go over everything that needs to be done. And it's just you guys. Next step, authorize the pipe. And then the next meeting again would be authorize the contractor.
Correct.
So,
okay.
Good. Keep it simple for you.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Sounds good. I don't have anything else.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And are you going to be coming up periodically? Or?
Yep. Well, yeah, I mean, I'll come up. Well, you tell me. Well, we can do an online meeting.
I mean, for us to communicate, but as far as like construction, I mean, will you be out there periodically on site too?
Well, I'm not on the contract with these guys for the construction oversight. Right now, it's mostly going through the design and permitting management, and then also the bidding package component.
Yeah.
So once we have a contractor on site, then that would be a separate agreement that I'll set up with the town for that.
Okay.
Because I got it for them, I need to make sure that the contractors are meeting all the FEMA requirements, the Davis-Bacon wages, and
that. That's up to you or that's up to him?
No, me.
You.
That'd be during construction oversight. Okay. I still need you as an engineer to ensure that, because I'm not an engineer, to ensure that the contractors are conforming to the design.
Right. Yeah, no, we've got
an application and stuff.
We're obviously going to be there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think what I'll do, though, is with this work, we have, we keep a very simple bid package. I mean, I can share that with you.
Okay.
I mean, Davis Bacon, I mean, shouldn't apply.
For FEMA
for
money?
FEMA, it doesn't.
Really?
Yeah, it doesn't apply. Unless the town was using Davis Bacon. But
that's the first I ever heard of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is it? What did you just say?
Davis Bacon wages, minimum wage.
Right, it's a federal minimum wage.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, Davis Bacon hasn't been anything for any of the towns around here. The only thing we've had Davis Bacon on is some like USDA or EPA stuff.
Okay. Well, my main concern is with the state of Vermont's Department of Labor, because they have the what do they call it, the livable wage. I thought they have a livable wage, which is similar to a Davis Bacon. But I thought it hamstrung the town too, to make sure that if they're getting FEMA money from the state.
Not in our
coffers.
Not from our experience that we've had to deal.
Okay.
With any of it. So it's just whatever the town policy was.
Okay.
And I know that the town, most of the towns around here, basically VLCT had given them like this boilerplate language that everybody adopted. Mm-hmm. And it would just say, I think it was kind of like an if you have Davis Bacon, then it would apply. But unless the town actually said, we want Davis Bacon to apply, then all the projects we have under construction, nothing's Davis Bacon.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's good.
Keep it simple.
Yeah. I would.
Yeah. The only thing that's really big difference, any difference between the towns, is their purchasing policy, where some of them said, we have to put it in the newspaper.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, advertising.
So on the design engineer part, Nate, you oversee some of that as they're doing the project?
Yeah, we'll have somebody, I mean, in my proposal I had,
right,
you know, fixed them out. We'll be there. We're mostly there in-stream work. I want to make sure that it's restored. The bed material is what we want and what A&R wants. So that the pipes put it in the right elevation, the right slope.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the right backfill around it. And then once it's backfilled, you know, then we'll just kind of, okay, is the guardrail in the right spot or you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a road base. I mean, we're not going to hang out while they're
right.
Putting dense grade down on the road.
Correct.
And then on these deep spots, a lot of the contractors, they're all going to GPS.
Mm-hmm.
And these deep holes, their GPS isn't going to work for... work very good down there.
So no.
We usually have our total station out there and we'll, I mean, I've watched them try to use GPS and then we'll go and switch it up and say, all right, well, I'm going to check it.
Mm-hmm.
GPS just isn't, it'll be off 3-4 inches that deep in a hole like that. So.
Comforting.
And when you're doing 100, when you're doing 100-foot pipe,
right,
you know, it can make a difference.
So. Yeah. I met with Kat yesterday on this Gen 2 stuff with this 2D and 3D stuff, and pretty wild.
It has its areas of that works. I mean,
mm-hmm.
And then there's some that just this culvert work is tough. Same thing, like TrueLine does a lot of surveying around here. Just bought a like $50,000 GPS survey unit,
mm-hmm.
and we work with them sometimes, and I'm like, I don't think this would be good for us, and we kind of, it's like, not for what we do. I mean, for the boundary surveys that they're doing, it seems to be working good. We'll see how the tree cover.
That 3D stuff, man. You send them guys a blueprint, your blueprint, and they put it all on a little chip, and you plug it into your excavator, and
That's how we did Kingdom Campground. So
yeah.
I had designed all the water and sewer, with Civil 3D, and it's all modeled, and then mm-hmm. he gave it to his GPS guy, and then they just dug.
Yeah.
You don't overdig it. They dig it on the slope that I told them to put it at. So
playing an Atari game, sitting in an excavator.
Yeah.
Thousands of feet.
That's why these young kids are good, because it's all, like, I mean, my 15-year-old is great with his kids here, because it's all joysticks.
There's not a lot of them, though. They're losing the ability to run, like,
right.
a grader.
Yeah.
Or even a dozer. Because the computer wants to do all
that. That guy was telling me, you can be in a different state, sitting in a chair.
Yeah.
And you get a screen in front of you.
And operate it.
And you're running your equipment in a different state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grapple skidders and everything. They ain't even nobody in it.
Yeah. Hey, if we could bomb other people 10,000 miles away.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Well, good. Sounds good. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
All right. You as well.
This way?
Sure. Yeah, we can. Yep.
All right. Are you guys good with the results?
Yep.
Very good.
Of this?
I'm happy.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So at least like an opportunity to get Project 1 and 4.
That would be nice.
Going this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Logan's not going to have a problem with this road being closed because this one's also class 3.
Well, unless he wants to. No.
I feel like no matter what, we're going to have something closed.
So back to temporary stuff from FEMA. Are they paying for temporary stuff now?
Yes.
FEMA?
Yes, they are.
But change. I had submitted that all originally anyway. When Leslie right. got a hold of me and was like, oh. You know, I'm going to be busy this weekend, and now all of a sudden they're taking temporary stuff, so now I'm going to need all your invoices for temporary work, too. And I said, I've given you everything.
My only concern...
I didn't separate it.
I mean, if we can get a temporary bridge, and if FEMA's going to pay for temporary stuff, then we can put a better temporary bridge down here if they're going to... Because last year they were all used up. But I don't know if we have... You know, that's a question for Logan. This is not going to work. So, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, because Winterset, I believe, still has temporary bridges
right.
in his...
But they were $200,000 to put them in, and we didn't know if we were ever going to get reimbursed for them. So that was the
right.
question that we had, and I didn't think we were.
Well, last
right.
winter, we talked about closing this little bridge and rooting around Barnes Brook, or Brookside. Brookside. But Brookside's not really wide enough to be the only route through the winter, is
right.
it?
Yeah, so that's...
But we can't put 400 cars
no,
across
can't.
This every
right.
week.
No,
right.
ain't happening.
400 on Brookside would be better than 400 across this bridge.
Yeah, that's a liability issue. Here
but it was... I mean, everybody was under the understanding that they're not... That they don't pay...
Temporary.
For temporary...
That's
care.
Why we didn't
now,
we
now
didn't
they
it.
Are. So if this has to... If it appears as though... That this would have to wait till spring.
That this we should have
our
a temporary bridge would be a solution and get it put in right now.
That's right.
Then I would contact Winterset. I
right.
would say contact Winterset and see if they
have
anything.
Available.
Yeah, and then that would solve a lot of problems for the winter and so being and moving
yeah.
forward for now.
All right.
We might want to ask them if they have one available. What
yeah.
it would cost us. Of course, they're going to charge us to put it in, to take it out, and probably rent it.
Right.
Yeah. But it, I mean, it is, it's what it is if they pay for it.
Rents them in, puts them in, but the state of Vermont also had temporary bridges, right?
That's what the two are that are on Red Village Road, our state of Vermont bridges that Winterset put in.
For under $250,000 and then get a contractor to put it in for under $250,000. This wouldn't require a whole...
So my question to Logan would be...
do you have a temporary bridge?
Whether you call him or I call him is, okay, this is the situation we're in.
I'll
call him. Say, this is the situation we're in. You don't want to close the road off. You want to put a temporary bridge in. Is that the deal?
It would make more sense than trying to travel Brookside. I mean, if any of us meet...
Right.
John and the town truck over there.
Or, I know, you're done.
Or pretty much anybody in town, you're going to be off the road.
Yeah. All right, so I'll work on that a little bit, on a temporary bridge. And as long as FEMA is going to reimburse us for the temporary thing.
Supposedly they are now.
Because that was our main issue in the beginning, was to spend $300,000 and not get our money back.
Yep. Right.
Because we didn't have that money. We ain't got that money.
Yeah, because that's poof, gone after you...
Right.
Permanent, and he's like,
yeah. Right.
It's like rent, it's renting, really.
So if you have a chance, just check with, text Keith Wooster.
And double check.
Double check on the reimbursement part of temporary stuff if we do this.
Yeah. And also check with Keith if FEMA truly does not require none of the contractors.
Davis speaking.
Yeah. Because if they don't, this is the first time I've ever heard of this. If they don't, then you guys don't need me during the construction oversight.
Right.
So that's
right.
My purpose is to make sure you dot the sentences across the T so you do get money back.
Right.
But if that's true, then that's great. Then it's a smoother process. Yeah, because the whole Davis Bacon thing is a big babysitting thing. Mm-hmm. But then I have to, and then you usually have to also work with the Vermont Department of Labor too, and it's just
right.
Yeah, sometimes their category of a labor title is different than what the feds use, and you got to try to merge them together.
Yeah.
So okay.
I can get a hold of Michael Clark, see if he's got, if they've got any of their own bridges available, and what they know. At least to get one step ahead. I know he's doing a lot of that interstate work, but don't know until you ask, I guess.
Yep. Yeah, that's fine, Jeff. The biggest thing is reimbursement part of it is what I want to find out.
For sure.
Yeah. We're good.
All set?
Okay.
Yep. Anything else for me?
Should be all set, man.
You good, Matt? Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. did you get a chance to find out anything about the dealer?
I got a call into him. I'll call you as soon as he calls me back. Okay?
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Bond Bank.
This is not great news. Keith, I already kind of filled you in, but... So when I went to submit that $14,000 invoice to the bond bank, they said that the last closing was for switching the old loan to the new loan. They have not yet closed on switching the new loan to the old loan, so we don't have this money available yet. Ken and Eli conversed, and the soonest they can do a closing is July 9th. Jeez, so we can't access any of that money until after July 9th. Also, in the email, Ken Ling from the bond bank confirmed the amount as $865,000, and I said, in the Teams meeting, someone was talking about bumping that up to $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, I forgot about that. I'll look into it.
So what if you go to the, what if?
So right now, where we sit, there's $6,000 in our checking account. I have a $9,000 bill from Pike.
So get a line of credit from the Pacific Bank for now,
we're
and then we'll just pay that when we get that money. It is what it is. You're going to have to.
Because John needs over $7,000 worth of chloride.
Yep.
It's just...
Right, Keith?
All we can
do. Need to keep paying John, or he's gonna stop coming to work.
Just get a line of credit for now. We'll pay it when we get our money.
So we should have some money starting to come in toward the end of July because tax bills will go out in the middle of July. Mm-hmm. But we need enough money to operate on until
we don't have,
at least then, without me pulling my hair out.
Right.
So.
So how much do we get for a line of credit? I mean,
whatever Erin thinks she's going to need before July.
200,000?
I don't think that much.
No.
Well, I'm putting numbers out on it.
Well, I feel like normally when we get close to tax time, I feel like the account's down to like, you know, 80,000, 85,000 or something.
Well, we don't, like Jeff said, 200,000. We don't have to use it. We're going to only use it as needed, right? So if we only use 50,000 of it, 75,000 of it, we close it out, we're done.
Right. Now, I have to talk to Heather because I don't know all the rules about this, but like, does it have to be... Like, if we're just using this for our operating costs, am I still going to have to submit every single invoice to her? Like, for FEMA reimbursement... I know why we had to, but if this is just for operating costs, I mean, am I going to have to send her bill every power bill?
Shouldn't have to.
I don't think the line of credit
is for us to use. They're saying, yeah, you've got $200,000 and you can use it as needed.
Right.
And
so I should say that this money is like, will be paid back with tax money.
Yes.
But then technically, if we get more back from FEMA than we owe in loans,
we can only pay
that. Technically, we can use that extra FEMA money to pay this back.
Right, sure.
And that won't matter.
It should.
It should.
I would say we need a line of credit in lieu of taxes.
Yeah. And
I mean, if they balk it.
You know. To move her ass on this one because.
Yeah, it's got to have it next. Got to have it this next week.
I'm gonna need money next week.
I'll stop and see her on my way down. My way down, I'll swing in to see her and tell her what we're running into here.
We're running into so, negative, so she better hurry.
Do we have the money out of our town account? We have a lot of that. That's because we spent a lot on, we've paid the invoices that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I.
No, but I mean, why are we at 80,000? Why are we less than $80,000 now? What did we spend that we normally would not spend on? Is it storm projects or?
I don't necessarily.
I was kind of wondering the same thing. Why we're so down? Because what did we do with our money?
Yeah. What happened to? Typically, what happened to?
But really, I don't feel like we're that far off.
What happened to our money that we're supposed to run the town with?
Well, we get more starting to come in July. Mm-hmm. That's where I get confused is because our budget gets done in January, right? Mm-hmm. For January to December. Mm-hmm. But our income comes in like...
July.
From July to December. So it always runs tight this time of year, but like... I mean, everything's more expensive, but I thought we budgeted for that.
Well, yeah, I thought that's why we do a budget.
But, like, the 14,000 last week...
Came out of our checking account.
I didn't know about. So that came out of our checking account, and we haven't gotten reimbursed for it because we can't.
That puts us back to 20,000 or whatever.
But I'm thinking, like, if he wants us to order a pipe... The third week of June.
Yeah.
We need some funding. And I don't know how much that pipe will be either. So, like, that might play into this.
What did he say? How much money were we getting back? 700,000 this morning from the state?
That will be the FEMA reimbursement.
From the FEMA?
Will be...
That's all going back out.
Exactly. Right.
Out of the 900 that we spent, 700 will come back from FEMA, and like 200 will come back from the state.
So that's gone already.
But then, yeah, I don't really understand all the extra costs, why it makes it sound like they're coming back separate.
Well, everything was based on FEMA pricing, the way I understood
it. Right, it's like the hourly or daily rate or whatever per truck.
So we ended up with more money through FEMA's price list than what it actually cost the town.
Right.
That's what
he's saying. And I didn't know that was the case. Like, I didn't know we could... I didn't think we would make money on this. I thought we would lose about 8% of what we put into this.
Right. Everything is based
off... Yeah, because our bills represent what we paid somebody. And if they analyze,
they have to pay X amount on FEMA percent on FEMA paper.
I mean, I couldn't believe he was saying that this morning, that they're going to turn around and base the trucking and the labor rates or whatever.
Well, when the guy charges us $10 an hour, FEMA allows us $12
right,
an hour.
Correct.
So we make $2 an hour on that guy.
Right.
So...
Yeah.
Because that's what FEMA says they'll pay.
I assumed that the federal rates would be less than what we actually paid. Not more.
They're actually, and that's what he was talking about, for the feds to be on a federal job. I mean, that's like Rod Roofer goes and does a post office roof. Mm-hmm. They have to pay their employees $38 an hour.
Right.
Rod's does. But that's what the feds pay Rod's.
Right.
So, because the feds say that guy's going to make $38 an hour.
Exactly. They have a certain amount what they pay, and that's what you pay them on a fed job.
It's like, it's the same with gas allowance and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the feds like 93 cents a mile, and most everybody else is at 51, 52. So they pay twice as much.
Mm-hmm.
But... that's their standard. So
you want to go for 200 then for the Vesumpsic Bank deal for now?
I mean, how much do we think a pipe will be? I have no idea.
I don't know.
They said the whole job probably not going to be 200,000, but
that pipe steel, you don't know when it's in stock or if it's got a tariff attached to it or whatever.
I would just, you could ask them what would you allow us?
I would like to think.
Yeah, with the least amount of complications.
Yeah, what would you allow us? We don't just need the dick of this. It's not a negotiable, this is what we want. This is what we, $200,000 line of credit. Is that feasible? Mm-hmm. And if it is, okay. If they say, well, no, it's got to be 100. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's 100.
Okay.
Whatever.
All right. Yep.
Ask for 200 and take what they give you.
Okay. All right.
I don't think that they will, I don't know. Keith Wooster has mentioned these little banks, they're going to run out of money loaning all this money. But that's not really a thing.
No, it's Federal Reserve.
I mean, this money will be paid back, whether it's from FEMA or
taxes.
We need some money.
It's guaranteed that they'll get it back. So I wouldn't think that they would say, we won't give it to you, but we'll give you $50.
Yeah.
See what they say.
We gotta run the town.
Yep.
Exactly. Well, we knew this was gonna all come out in Washu eventually anyway.
Yeah.
So here you have it.
We better hang on.
Yeah. You can't. It is what it is. It all catches up at the end, like any other job.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
All right, so I'm going to email Keith and have him make sure that FEMA will pay for a temporary bridge.
Yep.
And, the install and removal or whatever.
Yep.
The rent. I'm sure the state may not rent it if we got one from the state, but I'm sure Winterset would.
Right.
And you don't think that will happen before July 9th, right?
The bridge? No.
Temporary bridge? Okay.
No.
Good. It can't.
I don't know. No. I think that's it then.
Did you do a vote for $200,000 line of credit?
Why? I'll make a motion that we...
You guys make the money decisions.
We'll make a motion that we talk to Pesumsic Bank about a $200,000 line of credit in lieu of taxes.
Second.
Immediately. All in favor?
Aye.
So move. Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So move.